All right. Well, let's go. What's that? All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. And obviously, as many of you guys saw, we went ahead and moved the bonfire to not next Sunday, the Sunday after, on the 5th. So make a note of that, and we should be good to go. I was telling some people before service, looking at the weather and everything and what it was forecasting, and I told Sandra, I said, we're just going to go ahead and move it 2 weeks and not even worry about it. Everything will be wet anyway. And still works out fine that way, but it's literally about 15 minutes after I posted that post on Facebook, I checked my weather app and everything changed. So I was like, oh, of course. But we're still good. So next October 5th, we'll have the bonfire. So we'll still be, and we'll meet right out there at the bonfire pit on the south end of the property. So we'll be all set for that. So a couple announcements real quick just to get started. We do have Bible studies starting this week, so don't forget men's and ladies' Bible studies Tuesday and Thursday, so make sure you're connected to that if you're in those. Also, just a reminder about the men's chili cook-off, so that's going on October 18th. Don't miss out on that, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a cornhole tournament. We have a guest speaker that's going to be coming and sharing the word with us. Absolutely free event, and we encourage all men to come to that. And again, there is a handout in the bulletins out by the front door there if you didn't get one this morning. Also, just a reminder about Appreciation Sunday. Next Sunday, we have our Appreciation Sunday, which is going to be a time to say thank you to all of our volunteers that help and serve in so many ways. And then also, we'll have a luncheon right after service. And so if you'd like to sign up for that, please do so before you leave tonight. We want to encourage as many people as possible to bring a dish to pass to help with having enough food for everything and everyone. And so if you can do that, that would be great. Also, just a reminder, on October 5th, we'll have communion in our morning service. So we hope you'll join us for that. And then also for men's prayer breakfast, that starts up on October 4th. So we start back up with our men's prayer breakfast every first Saturday of the month, October through May. And so that starts up in October at 8 a.m. on Saturday, October 4th. All right. Also, just a reminder, the students have their all-nighter coming up on October 10th, 10 p.m. until Saturday morning at 7 a.m. So if you have a student in 7th through 12th grade, we'd love to have them join us for that. All right. That's really all the announcements I have for coming up activity-wise. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer in just a moment. With things being a little bit different, we'll take just a few moments. We'll take some prayer requests and praises if anyone has one. We'll open in prayer. We'll dive into Matthew, but we'll probably go a little bit shorter tonight. But we'll just see how the Lord leads in that regard. All right. So any prayer requests or praises before we get into our time in Matthew tonight? Yes, sir. Okay. For mercy for you to others. Is that what you're asking for? Oh, so you're asking for mercy from your company. Okay, all right. Let's be praying for Dale for that to work all out well. Yeah, we're praying for wisdom and patience from his employer. When do you find out if there's going to be any kind of repercussions for that or no? Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's be praying for tomorrow for Dale and that would just go well and the employer will understand and all of that. So mercy and grace from the employer. Absolutely. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Terry? Okay. Just for her health and all of that. Yep. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Be praying for Shelley Shear. Has been in the hospital for a couple of days here. Be praying for her health. Some of you know she's been battling with some heart issues. And so I want to pray for healing and just the Lord's will there. Absolutely. Be praying for Shelley Shear. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Yes, Jeff. Okay. Yeah. Well, that would have been rough because we actually had an issue with when Pete went to pick the chicken up. They weren't ready yet. So luckily you got the food here, because if you didn't get it, and he had what he had, no food whatsoever for the funeral dinner. So no, praise the Lord that those little reminders, right? That helps. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord for those little reminders. Anyone else? Prayer request or praise? Sandra. Yes. Yep. Yep. So be praying for Anthony. He is looking for a job. I know he's got one interview this week. I think he's got another one lined up or something like that. He had one that fell through, but he was going to do work study. Those jobs apparently all filled up like well before the semester even started. So be praying for that he will be able to get some work and take care of some of those things from his school bill. We know the Lord will take care of it, and the Lord's already provided in a great way. So we're trusting the Lord for that. But just maybe pray also for just, peace and comfort, that he won't get too, worried about those kind of things. The Lord will take care of it. So, but yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Obviously, as we said this morning, continued prayer for obviously the Kirk family, and the memorial was today, and just all that the Lord's doing there. I didn't watch the memorial or anything like that. I saw bits and pieces of it through the afternoon, but it was cool to hear and to see the gospel being shared in many different ways. And so pray that as the gospel was shared, that people will come to Christ, continue to come to Christ, and all of those good things will come out of this, and the Lord will work in a mighty way. But if there's no one else, we'll go ahead and open in prayer. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather to worship you. And Lord, thank you for these that have gathered together, Lord, to dive into your word. Just with our heart condition, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for grace. Pray that you would just comfort her, Lord. Be with the family as they all walk through this together. Lord, just minister there. Father, we pray for any family that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that through all of this, they would come to know you. And Lord, we pray that you would just work in a mighty way. And Father, we do pray for Anthony, that he'd be able to get the job that you have lined up for him to receive, that he's able to take care of, obviously, school bills and things of that nature. And Lord, we trust that you're working all this out, and you're going to take care of all of it. But so just let it be a good lesson to him in trusting you and stepping out by faith and doing his part, but also believing that you will provide what is needed. Lord, we do pray for the Kirk family. Just continue to be with them, as obviously lots of attention is on that family right now, Lord. But I know that in the coming weeks and months, Lord, as that family steps back somewhat from the spotlight, if you will, and continue to grieve as we all would grieve the loss of a loved one, I pray that your grace and your comfort would be with them still. And Lord, that you would just continue to work there. Be with any and all who made professions of faith today at this service. As we know the gospel was preached, pray you'd strengthen them in their faith and grow them in Christ. Lord, we thank you for, as Jeff shared, those little God moments where just little reminders and encouragements can really make a big difference. And so we're so thankful for those moments where you just lay it on someone's heart to say that word of encouragement or to give that reminder, Lord, so that we're able to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for these last couple of days here at the end of the week. Here Thursday, we were able to just be a blessing to the Wilcox family and the loss of Sam. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that those that came and helped in the kitchen, those that helped prepare, Lord, just it was such a blessing to hear the family sharing how thankful they were for our church and our willingness to just help them in whatever we can. And just the blessing that is, Lord, to hear, Lord. So thank you for that. Thank you for those that came alongside Randy and Tiffany Amador on Saturday and just were a blessing to them and just cared for them and just stepped up and, Lord, did so much for them. We thank you for them. And just thank you for Randy and Tiffany and their family. Lord, what a blessing they are to our church. And I just pray you continue to just lead, guide, and direct there. And just watch over them, Lord. Father, again, we give you all the praise for all that you're doing. Lord, you are so good to us. And we pray that as we dive into your word for here just a little bit, we pray that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm sorry? Oh, I'll get you. I'll pray at the end. I'll remember at the end. So we got you. Sorry. I don't usually forget. So that maybe just I'm getting old, I guess. I don't know. So thank you for the reminder, though. All right, so tonight we are going to dive into Matthew and kind of pick up where we left off and kind of talk for just a little bit. So Matthew chapter 7, if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to turn there. Matthew chapter 7, and we gave you guys a handout last week. Have one, but left it at home because you weren't, you know, you thought you were coming to a bonfire or you just weren't thinking we were getting into Matthew. That's totally fine, but if you maybe could hold off on getting a new one right now, just so we can make sure that those that didn't get one at all can get one. So if you're here and you did not get a handout last week and you would like one, I can get you one. If you're just forgetting yours, we should be fine. We're just going to cover a little bit of the material. All right. So who needs one, does not have one, did not receive one last week? Okay. You were here last week. I know you were here last week because I was here last week. Anyone else needs one, did not receive one? Okay. There you go. Anyone else? There you go, sir. There you go, guys. All right. Got a couple left. Anyone else other than my son? Here, I'll let you look off that one. Just give it back to me. We're done. Don't draw on it. Anyone else like a doodler in church? You got a doodle on your notes? Any other doodlers? Really? One? Only one other person? Okay, I don't believe that. Yeah, no, you were the only one that raised their hand. Who else raised their hand? Oh, I didn't see those hands over there. Those were pretty low. I didn't see those. Come on. So Matthew chapter 7. So we started last week talking about this amazing part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we talked about this over the last so many weeks, that this is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon of Christ is what we kind of call chapter 7. And so chapter 6 and chapter 7 of this sermon, this amazing teaching of Christ that covers 5, 6, and 7, is really practical. 6 and 7 are very practical teachings of the ministry of Christ. And so here in chapter 7, we opened up with that first verse, which has quickly become the most quoted verse in our world today. For a long time, John 3:16 was the most quoted verse. Anymore, I feel like this verse, I hear it quite often said to people who are maybe out like street preaching or sharing their faith or things like that, and addressing the issue of sin and need for repentance. Many, many times people will quote Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And so we talked last week a little bit about what was Jesus addressing in this opening passage there. And so in your notes, just as a quick review, we see here that in those first six verses, Jesus was teaching us to judge the right way. He's not saying don't make any judgments. What he's saying is, or warning us against, the wrong types of judging, the ways in which we should not judge one another. And basically the idea is here, we don't make the final judgments. We don't have final say over someone else. The Lord does. And so we're not making condemning judgments. We're not making superficial judgments, right? We're getting to know people. We're getting to walk with them. We're in humility and trying to deal with, right? The whole beam and the toothpick, if you will, the 2x4 and the toothpick illustration that Jesus uses. We need to make sure that our heart is right and where it needs to be. And in so doing, now we can come alongside and help our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why Jesus makes it clear that we can then see clearly. Once our eyes are right, we can see clearly. So again, it's important we know Jesus is not saying do not make judgments of any kind. The Bible gives us so many examples about making good, wise, discerning judgments. The book of Proverbs is loaded with examples of being discerning. The New Testament speaks about being discerning. This also happens when, in our day and age, we have a lot of Christian speakers and pastors and spiritual influencers on all kinds of social media. And so we have access to all kinds of spiritual teachers, right, nowadays? I mean, you can YouTube anybody. You can watch anybody. And not just from this timeline. We can go back and watch speakers of the past. I love watching old Billy Graham sermons and things like that. But when that happens, what tends to happen is you might hear someone teach something and you say, I don't know that that was biblical. I don't think that was accurate to Scripture. And you might be talking to someone and say, you know, they bring up this speaker, or this teacher, or this pastor, and you say, you know, I heard them say this. I don't really know if that's biblical. And they almost get defensive. Like, whoa, 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 who are you to judge? You can't judge them. Well, one of the verses that people like to use is, touch not God's anointed. And there's almost like this kind of anti-discernment movement in Christianity today. That just because somebody stands up in front of a church and preaches the word of God, that somehow they're above any kind of discerning understanding or wisdom of, is what they're saying actually true to Scripture? Maybe 80% of it is. But I can promise you guys, there's been times that I've preached a sermon and I'll look back years and years later and go, I kind of still believe that's true. I believe that's still an accurate statement, but I don't really think I said it the right way. Or there's other things where I'm like, and the need for someone to come to me and say, you said this, what did you mean by that? And I was so thankful, not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago, the exact passage, I'm forgetting the exact reference, but basically I was preaching through something in the Old Testament, and I made a couple comments about this situation. And after the service, a person came up to me with their Bible open. And they were humble, they were gracious, they were inquisitive, they just wanted to know. And this person said, you know, you made this comment, but I was reading here in this chapter, and it kind of says this. How does that line up with what you were saying? And I literally, guys, in all of my study preparing for that sermon, somehow I had missed in this other passage, this other chapter, a reference to what I was talking about. And it didn't change so much the application of what I was saying, but it definitely changed how the situation unfolded and what I said happened. And so I needed to correct myself the next week. And so I got up in front of the church and I said, this was kind of pointed out to me. It doesn't really change the point, but it does change this point I made. And so let me correct that. I was so thankful for that. Because here's the reality, and you know this to be true, because if you've gone here for any amount of time, you know this is true. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And so as we're studying God's word together, it's okay to be discerning of those things. But I'm telling you guys, there's this weird kind of thought in Christianity today on a large scale, where if you correct or even suggest that maybe this very popular speaker or pastor or whoever it is might not be right in this one or two points of their teaching or their theology, oh, look out. You hear things like, judge not that you be not judged. Who are you to judge? Touch not God's anointed. And that's a horrible thing to try to apply to that, because we're not judging the person. We're not judging their salvation. We're not even judging their character. But if they publicly teach something and say, thus saith the Lord, we can, as the body of Christ, say, I need to look into that and discern, is that true to God's word? Now, what could also be true is what they said is 100% true in their understanding of that doctrine, and you just disagree in a smaller area of doctrine. You just don't agree that that secondary or third doctrine, you don't agree that that's how you would look at it. It doesn't make them wrong or a heretic per se. You're just coming down on a different opinion. And apart from the core teachings of Christ, the core things of Christianity, we can agree to disagree on some points. I have friends that I don't agree with this. I don't see it this way, but they would see certain things about maybe speaking in tongues. I don't believe tongues is for today, an active gift of the Spirit. They do. We have good conversations. They have passages that they believe support that view. I have passages I believe support my view. And you know what? At the end of the day, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no issue. Why? Because it's not a core issue. It's not a mandated, we have to agree or you're not a Christian. No, no, no. We're still brothers and sisters in Christ. We just disagree on a minor point of doctrine. But if somebody tries to suggest that Jesus Christ isn't Lord, or teach something that suggests that the Godhead is not a Trinity, but God just reveals himself in different modes and different times, that's actual heresy, then it's not agree to disagree, that's a wrong teaching. You guys get where I'm going with this? So we need to be discerning, that's the point. It's okay to make the right kinds of judgments, but we should not judge superficially, you know, we should not judge hypocritically. I can't call someone on their sin when I'm willfully sinning against what God has had for me. So again, we have to be careful with that. So moving into the next portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 7, if we pick it up in verse 7, so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. So as usual, I'd love to get somebody to read and kind of jump in here with some engagement. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, who'd like to read that for us? Who would like to read that passage for us? Terry, awesome. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So here we see in your notes, letter C, they're praying diligently with the right view of God. Praying diligently with the right view of God. This is what Jesus is encouraging us here with this teaching. Jesus uses the illustration of a parent's desire to give their children what they desire or need. That's the illustration that he's drawing our attention to, from a human relationship of a parent to a child. If a child asks for food, the parent would not give a stone, right? That doesn't make sense. Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. So he's using an example of a human father or a human mother to the heavenly father. So number two in your notes there, if a human father who is evil by nature, that's what Jesus said. If a human father, he says in verse 11, if ye then being evil... Now, he's not saying you're actively doing evil things. What he's saying is we're fallen creatures. We're not perfect, right? We have a sin nature. We're not God. We're not divine. We're not perfectly righteous and perfectly holy. We have sin in us. And so he's saying, if you as a human being, as one who is sinful, if you would not behave this way, why would you think your heavenly Father, who is perfect and righteous, would treat his children harshly when they call out to him? So if a human father does the right thing by their child, I'm hungry, here's bread. I need to have provision and clothing, here I'll provide for you. If we as human beings who are fallen creatures can understand what love looks like in that situation, we then cannot assume that God, who is perfectly righteous and perfectly holy, would. For this reason, God's children never have to be afraid of the answer God gives them in prayer. If God is that loving, perfect Heavenly Father, then we should never fear or be afraid of the answer He gives us. It is exactly what we need. Yes, God will sometimes say no to our prayers, but it is because that is what is best for us right now. So God may say no to a prayer, but we trust that the no is better than the yes we were longing for. Why? Because He is sovereign. He is infinitely wise. And if He knows what exactly we need, then He will give us what we need. But if our desires conflict with God's will for our lives in that moment, He's not going to answer that prayer with a yes. And that's an amazing comfort that we have, because I'm finite. My mind cannot comprehend the vastness of God and all that He knows, right? I mean, God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning, and He sees it all as though it's happening right now. Like, He just knows. This is everything that's happening, has happened, will happen. He knows. Right at this moment, right now. We can't do that. And so when we pray, often what do we pray as far as what's our mindset like? We're not praying always for 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Oftentimes when we pray, where's our mind? In the present, right? And that's okay, because sometimes we need immediate present prayers. Right? A health situation, a concern, something that's going on. We pray a lot of times with the present in mind, and we hope for good things in the future. But when we pray in that present moment, we don't always think about how will this play out 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And the reality is that God is orchestrating things right now to answer a prayer request that you're going to pray 5 years from now. Like, that's crazy to think about. But imagine it this way. Let's say someone 5 years from now is going to be unemployed. They don't know that. Everything's great. I'm not talking about Dale. I hope it all works out for Dale. He'll be fine. Not that I could. But anyway, so 5 years from now, someone's going to be unemployed, and they're going to need a job. And at the same time, right now, as that person's working a job, everything's great, everything's good, God is laying it on someone's heart to start that business that they've put off starting. So God lays it on their heart. They start the business. God begins to bless that business. It grows to a degree where 5 years from now, they need to expand and hire more staff. And this person loses their job 6 months before that. And they start putting out their resumes. And this person's over here going, man, I need somebody that's really good in this exact area with this exact qualifications. And there's this person who now needs a job. And God orchestrates it all together. They make a phone call. The person has a job and they're provided for. Now, I know to many of us, that sounds like just a lot of coincidences, but that's not how God works. That's God orchestrating things according to his will and his plan. Now, to say that illustration always happens, I would be doing you a disservice because that's not true. There are some times that God knows 5 years from now, I'm going to be unemployed, you'll be unemployed, whatever might happen, whatever story goes. And he's not lining up that next job. He needs us to go through a season of maybe some barren land season where our trust is redefined, our faith is refined and sharpened, that now we're going, Lord, I don't know where that next provision is going to come from. And he's going, I need you to spend 6 months in the wilderness with me because I need to refine some things in you. I don't understand why he does what he does when he does it. But he's always a God who knows what's best for his children. And we don't always want what's best for us. And we definitely don't know what's best for us all the time. And the reason I know that we don't always want what's best for us, because sometimes what's best for us is a trial. Sometimes what's best for us is to lose some things so that we grow in our faith. And that's what you see in Scripture often. The Apostle Paul prayed how many times for that thorn in the flesh to be removed? 3. But what was best for him, to have the thorn removed or the thorn stay? It was best the thorn stay, right? What was that thorn doing for him? Why did he need that thorn? It kept him humble, right? So had the thorn been taken away, what's the temptation? He might become prideful and arrogant. But because the thorn stayed, he was humble. The best thing for him was for the thorn, the thing of discomfort, the thing he didn't really enjoy, to stay. And in that, the other blessing, not just that he would be staying humble, what's the other blessing? He grew in his understanding of grace. No, no, it's better for me because you know what? Your grace is sufficient. And if God will that he removes that, then okay, then that's fine. And God will teach that lesson another way. But we have to be so careful that we, when we pray and we seek him, we know he is a heavenly father who actually will do what's best for us. Now, the other thing we have to answer with here is the verses there when it says, when it talks about verses 7 and 8, that we'll always receive, to ask and we pursue and we want and we ask and we pursue and we do the things right, he's going to just fulfill that for us. But there's a caveat here that we learn in other gospels and other teachings of Christ. I can knock all day long, but if it is not God's will and it's not for God's glory, he's not going to open that door. I can seek all day long, but if it's not for God's glory and not for God's will, he will not open that door. And we have to be so careful we don't interject that we somehow have the power in this relationship, that somehow we tell God what he needs to do. We are seeking and we are showing our faith and we're pursuing, but God is the one that answers. So moving into verse 12, any questions or comments about that before we move on? We'll do verse 12 and we'll see where we're at in time and go from there. All right, verse 12. One more volunteer that would like to read verse 12 for us. Who'd like to read verse 12? Sandra, awesome. Awesome, thank you. So what do we call this verse? In your notes, it talks about it, the golden rule, right? The golden rule. When you think about this, this verse has been used by many as a good moral principle for how we should treat one another. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's fine. And while we very well can see it in that light, there is more to it than our own ability to treat others well. There's more to this verse than just be moral and do moral things. Jesus says, therefore, as he begins verse 12, which connects it to the preceding verses. I believe this ties into the theme of judging right judgments and speaking with truth. Also, it connects to our prayer lives practically and how we respond when someone asks bread of us. Do you see the connection to make right judgments, pray diligently, right? Model this in your life. And now we see when there's this human interaction with this, it all comes into play in how we react to others. Warren Wiersbe writes this. It only applies to believers. So this passage only applies to believers. Why would he make such a statement? Why would he say this only applies to believers? Can unbelievers treat people in this way? Of course they can. But in the practical sense of what Jesus is tying it to, we cannot function in this way. We can't do verse 12 without his help, his equipping, and his spirit. Because ultimately, in our natural state, what are we driven by? In our natural state, what drives us? Ourselves, what we want. So we are kind of naturally the opposite of this. I want. It's focused on us, not so much focused on others. And so he says here, it only applies to believers and it must be practiced in every area of our life. If our judging of others is not governed by this principle, we will become proud and critical and our own spiritual character degenerate. He's saying this much govern how we judge others. Are we treating them? Are we judging them as we want to be judged? Are we doing that type of discerning in our lives? I also love what the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, that's a really long title, but that's the name of the resource. The Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges writes about this verse. The thought of the divine judgment teaches forbearance. The thought of the divine goodness teaches kindness. So the thought of divine judgment teaches forbearance. If I know I'm under this divine judgment, and yet there's grace and mercy to me, then I can forbear one with another. I can endure. I can show that grace and mercy. The thought of divine goodness teaches kindness. Knowing that God is good to me means I can be kind to someone else. And so here we see this verse is not meant to be plucked out of its context. It's not meant to be a bumper sticker or a magnet on your fridge. It's intended to stay within the context of this passage. And it ties directly to how we interact with one another. And again, it ties into the theme of verses or of chapters 6 and 7, where it's all about practicality. It's all about how we treat one another, how we see one another. And so here we see this connection, not just meant to be taken out, but to be included in the remaining passage. Let me see here. We're at verse 13. So I think we'll pause here. Yeah, I think that'll be a good spot to, well, let's go ahead and it's a little early. Let's do the next portion of this passage. Verses 13 through 15. One more volunteer that would like to read, which I know I lied a minute ago when I said one more volunteer and then there's two more volunteers. So one more volunteer, verses 13 through 15 as we continue through the passage. Who'd like to read that? Going once? Oh, okay. Dennis? Oh, no, Barb? Who? He's pointing at you now. Now he's going, oh, you. Yeah. He raised his hand, you raised his hand, and he went right there. All right, Barb, go ahead. Awesome. Thank you. So here we have the reality of two roads, the reality of two roads, verses 13 through 15. This is also the epilogue of the sermon, right? This is kind of a high point of the sermon. The road we walk in this life will have a destination. The road we walk in this life will have a destination. One leads to life, not just life in this world, but life in the world to come. So we make a choice in this life, according to Jesus, that we can choose which road are we going to be on. Thayer and Smith Greek Lexicon wrote of this word life in verse 14, which few find, or the narrow road, that this life is real and genuine, a life after God and blessed. They continue, in the portion even in this world of those who put their trust in Christ, but after the resurrection to be consummated by new ascensions, among them a more perfect body and to last forever. So when he says that those who choose that narrow way have life, it's not just saying life as we understand it. It's life in this world, which is vigorous and full, right? That abundant life of John 10:10, which Jesus taught about. It's that relationship to Christ that brings that satisfaction in this life. This is why I've always said that among those in the world today who can really experience joy and see joy in the blessings of this life, Christians are at the very top. Because we understand when we see the beauty of creation or the beauty of new birth or all the many blessings of life, we see it as a gift of our Creator. So we recognize that. We can be more joyful and have more peace, right? More joy, more laughter, more excitement for the things that God is doing than anyone else. But it doesn't stop there. I love what the author says. But after the resurrection to be consummated by new ascensions, so a new body, Pastor Greg read from Corinthians this morning that we will have that new life and that new body that lasts forever, that will be with him. It's eternal life. It's not just life that is good and full this side of heaven. Many can promise that. Many promise a better life this side of heaven. But this life is not, it's not coming to a conclusion when this life ends physically to us. It continues forever. Yet again, many believe that in walking with Christ, that it's not worth it because it will lead you to give up something. That if you walk with Christ, you take the narrow road, it will lead you to give up something. And while it is true that walking with Christ will cost you something, what we receive in return is far more valuable. Again, you give up something in this life, but you gain eternal life. One Bible study writes this about the phrase, many enter through it, in regards to those who, and again, he'll say it here, highlights this reality. It says this phrase highlights the reality that many people choose the path of least resistance. This is that broad or large road that many walk through. It says here, many choose the path of least resistance, which is spiritually perilous. It serves as a warning about the prevalence of false teachings and the temptation to follow the majority rather than adhering to the truth of the gospel. This is echoed in other scriptures such as 2 Timothy 4:3-4, where Paul warns of a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. What's that word doctrine mean? What's another word for doctrine that we would use today? If I said sound doctrine, it just means teaching, right? Teaching. It's sound teaching. It's the idea of just this knowledge that we receive through the teaching of God's word. So Paul warns of a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, right teaching, right? Right understanding of God's word. The emphasis on many underscores the importance of discernment and the need to remain steadfast in faith, even when it is countercultural or challenging. John Wesley, the famous reformer, says this and is more pointed about those who walk the wide gate. They need not seek for this. They come to it, of course. Meaning what? That they come to it naturally. We will always choose the broad road. We will always reject the narrow way. And what do you hear today when people suggest that there's only one way to heaven? Well, that's too inclusive. That's too exclusive, right? You're excluding out all these people. You're not including everyone. You're not making a way for everyone. You know, it's so wrong for you to think and arrogant for you to think that your way is the only way. Here's the problem with that. It's not our way. We didn't come up with this. It's Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what's amazing is it is exclusive. Only those who come through Christ can come to the Father. Only those who are saved will go to heaven. But isn't it amazing that while it's in that sense kind of separating away from those who don't put their faith and trust in Christ, it's amazing how anyone can come though. Like, yes, you have to come his way, but anyone can come that way. It doesn't matter your background, your gender, where you come from, your religious background, whether you have any or none. It doesn't matter. All you need to do is put your faith and trust in Christ. And again, do you see the connection to the chapter at large? About that discerning, that making right judgments. So what's the warning here? As he's writing to those who are hearing this, what discernment do I need to make? Which road am I on? Am I on the natural road that I just path of least resistance and I'm walking in the flesh and I'm walking in the desires of my flesh and what I want? Or am I walking that straight road, that narrow road? Am I walking a road that leads to life or one that leads to destruction? And so again, we see here this idea of making right. How do we know what road we are on? How do we know what road we're on? And we'll finish that up next week. So any comments, questions, or thoughts on what we've covered tonight before we pray and let you guys be dismissed. Comments, questions, or thoughts on anything we talked about tonight so far? No? All right. Well, don't forget, next week we'll finish this up. And we also have Appreciation Sunday next week, so don't forget about that. We'll have the luncheon. We'll come back Sunday evening, wrap up this part of Matthew, and then we'll dive into most likely chapter 8 after the bonfire week. All right? Yes. Thank you so much. Yes. And that reminded me, Dale Moore, many of you have probably seen this. He's recovering from his foot surgery. Everything went very, very well. So just keep praying for Dale and Britt that he will be able to continue to recover and get stronger and all those things. But I think it's like 6 weeks he can't have weight on his foot or be weight bearing. So just be praying for all of that and for the Lord to just be with that whole situation. All right. What's that? Yes. Be praying for Bible studies starting up this week. Absolutely. For the men's and the ladies' Bible studies, Tuesday and Thursday. Absolutely. Exciting week ahead. Lots of ministry. Grief shares going on. Continuing tomorrow. So be praying for those guys. Absolutely. A couple sessions in Emily City and here at the church. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for what we were just sharing, that there's so many different ministries and things going on. Lord, we think about the Bible studies coming up this week for the men's and the ladies' groups. We just pray that you'd work in a mighty way there. Lord, we pray that you would just speak through your word, that you would give discernment to those that are part of those studies to help them grow in Christ. And Lord, we pray that if there's any that come into those studies that don't know Christ, they would come to know you, and they would, by your grace and through your work of the Holy Spirit, they would choose to respond favorably to the gift of salvation, which is offered freely, and that they would be moved from that natural wide road to that narrow road that leads to life. Not just life eternal with you, but also a life that begins right now, the abundant life. And I'm so thankful that the abundant life is not a large checking account or the car that we want or the house that we long for or those worldly desires and pursuits. Lord, the abundant life is so much richer and fuller than any of those things. So thank you for the depth of your love for us, your grace and your mercy that brings us to life, both now and in eternity. And Father, we thank you for Grief Share. Pray to be with them as they meet tomorrow afternoon in town, Emily City, here at the church in the evening. Just continue to minister to those that are walking through the loss of a loved one. There's so much to walk through, and I pray that you would just surround them with that support and encouragement that we all desperately need when we go through difficult seasons like that. Be with the leaders, help them to just have that compassion, that grace, and the knowledge to be able to encourage those that they're ministering to. And Father, we do pray for Dale as he will find out tomorrow whatever comes from this situation that happened at work, Lord. We do pray that you would just be with him, comfort him, Lord, be with the employer, give them an understanding and a to. But Lord, again, we trust that you are working in that, and we know that you will resolve whatever needs to happen, Lord, that you'll take care of it. And so, Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Father, we lift up Dale Moore. Just be with him and Britt as he recovers from his foot surgery. Thank you that things are going so well, that reported today that he is in no pain and doesn't even need pain relievers and all that stuff, Lord, that he's recovering quickly. And we just are so thankful for that, Lord. It was a pretty involved surgery, so we pray that he would continue to recover quickly, Lord, but enjoy also a time of rest and a time of just kind of recharging, Lord. Very active. I know he loves to serve, and I know he desperately misses being here and worshiping with us. So I pray that he would know that he is missed, that they are loved, and that, Lord, we will see them again here real soon. And so just do a great work there. And Father, again, we give you all the praise for all that you're doing. As we go our separate ways, would you help us to get home safely and bring us back on Wednesday as we continue to worship you? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.